Just a heads up, there are curse words uttered during this episode. Hey friends, here we are again. Today we're talking about how we've lost our religion a little more than we already had, and why it's important to keep banging on about the same things sometimes. The abuse and the things within the organized church that need to change. That have to change. So we're glad you're here. And here we go. So yeah. We're back. It's been a while, but we're back. And
hi.
We're going for it. I have lots of stuff we could talk about.
Yeah.
I've listened to lots of podcasts about religions and cults. It's so healthy.
You're in a great headspace.
I'm in a good headspace. So are you.
Yeah. Everything's coming up roses.
What's the book called?
Educated.
Educated. And I've been listening to Bodies Behind the Bus.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
And Was I in a Cult?
Uh-huh.
We're having some guests lined up that hopefully we can get done. Let's just kick this off with, I have been listening to those things and going through my own things as you do as a human. And I have come to the conclusion that I am probably, I'd say, in the last couple of years, like when we first started recording, I was probably like 70% done with religion, but I was like, there's some good people in it and stuff like that. And
you know,
I think it's healthy. Like, people do need religion. We've talked
about that.
They need something to believe in.
Right.
I think I'm at about 98% done.
Yeah. That's yep.
And I'm not talking about Jesus. I still believe Jesus.
Right.
I feel very loved. He has gotten me through. I'm talking about religion. I'm done like being like, well, there's some good. I'm sure maybe there is, but there's a lot of problems that nobody's fixing.
Right.
We can talk about things like that.
Man.
Because it's been on my mind a lot. What's been on your mind about in these subjects, Ashley?
Oh, I've had a hard time getting to church lately.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're Methodist?
Yeah.
You were going to?
Yeah. And I still appreciate, I can look back and appreciate how every space has helped me and been a positive experience since I left the Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
So the Episcopal church we were at, I still am grateful for and appreciate that space that let me heal and hurt.
Yeah.
And all the things and this space that my kids enjoy.
Yeah, that's good.
Going to youth group where I don't worry about them being indoctrinated or also made to feel guilt and shame all the time. Mm-hmm. That's not a space. They're not feeling that. Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah. That's nice.
You know, it's not a lot to ask from a religious community.
It's not. But Easter Sunday has just passed. Yeah. Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we got all dressed up and get downtown because it's downtown. And, you know, downtown doesn't have parking already.
Never. And on an Easter Sunday, weather that's beautiful and tourists.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was even worse. So we get down there. There's nowhere to park. And I say, well, screw it. I don't have the patience for this. Let's go in one of the squares and take a picture and get the heck out of here. So that's what we did.
Sweet.
We took our Easter pictures downtown in one of the squares and it's a beautiful picture and we left.
That's awesome. So,
and I don't feel bad about it.
No.
But then the lady that I know, the friend of mine that works there, she said, Ashley, we had more people than we've ever had before and we had people lining the walls and in the overflow. Like, they don't usually have to do that. I think there are like 850 in the church that only holds like 800.
That's pretty shocking.
Yeah. So there wasn't room already.
So yeah.
There wasn't anywhere.
Good.
Yeah. My thing is I've been working a lot. I don't When was the last time we...
Do not have a clue.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I got a real job.
We did talk about that.
Okay.
We did talk about your job and how you like it.
Good.
All that kind of stuff. I remember that.
Okay, because I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that.
I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
Nights. And a lot of nights. Oh, all nights now. And a lot of weekends. And so it's... there. You know, church isn't really a high priority ever anyways. But there's like a situation happening... and I don't really want to talk about it because it involves, I want to talk about it in general terms.
Base terms, yeah.
Yeah, but not specifically. The church that my family's at, and I haven't even told you this yet.
Mm.
The church that my family goes to, the pastor has been asked to step down.
Oh, goodness.
Hit. And
is there ever a time when this stuff's not going on?
No. And I don't want to get into details because my family are good friends with the pastor's family. And it's nothing...
sorted.
It's there's nothing nefarious going on here. It's just life is happening.
Yeah.
And life is hard.
Yeah.
And family is hard and marriage is hard. Mm-hmm. And life is thrown hard at them.
Yeah.
And the church is like, yes, it's just ridiculous. Like it's I can't even.
Oh, you're having a hard time?
Yeah.
It's time for you to go.
Right.
There's a little
you can't leave.
There's a little picture of it.
Yeah.
Right there. Gosh.
So that's frustrating on many levels, and I haven't, my dad told me, I knew a little bit of information, but my dad told me a couple weeks ago that he was out, and I was like, well, there goes the church, because everyone went because of this pastor. He's this was a pastor, if y'all remember, I said, when we started this, there was a pastor who said, this Bible was not written to you.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
It's all a love story to you.
Right.
Is this the guy?
It's the guy.
Okay.
He's a phenomenal communicator.
Yeah.
Even though now I don't necessarily agree with his theology.
Right.
But his communication style and the way that he preaches of this is what this meant to the people at the time it was written. This is how it would have been taken.
Right.
I appreciate that because he was the first one that gave me permission to question everything I had been taught, to look at it in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's just,
it's just always something, isn't it? It's disappointing. And I get that you have that with human beings, but church just seems to be littered with it.
Yeah. So you're done. I'm done.
I'm done.
We're done.
I mean, I haven't gone for years.
Right.
But It's just a shift in my mind and my heart, I think, where I'm just like, I don't see much good on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's done deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful I still believe Jesus because he's shown up to me. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, that's my hope. He has given me hope in really dark things. There's a lot of even supernatural, crazy things that I can't explain. And very loving. But, I've been listening to more about the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah.
If you still go to a Southern Baptist Convention church and still tithe, you shouldn't.
Why?
And I didn't know this, but I learned this on the Bodies Behind the Bus podcast, that if you do continue to go to a Southern Baptist church and you do tithe, you can tell them exactly where you want your money to go.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I did not know that.
You can specify.
So do that.
So do that.
Don't give it to the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right. Don't give it to that. You can put, like if your church is
I want it to go to kids. I want it to go to homeless. I want it to go to our food pantry. I want it to go to, I don't know, a youth group trip. I want it to go whatever.
Just at the SBC.
Right. Because, you know, they are being sued by all of these victims in different states.
Yeah.
They are literally fighting having who abused come out.
Yeah.
That's vile.
Yes.
So they are helping.
Protecting. Mm-hmm.
Helping abusers stay protected and making jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gross.
It is.
I thought maybe we should do a podcast called Unchristlike and just name all the crap off that churches are doing that have nothing to do with love or kindness or helping the helpless. Because I don't see anything in that. It's they go away. They just need to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. But but they need to.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about it. I don't know. I don't know how you can stand inside a Baptist church, but I don't know how you can stand a Catholic church either. So that's bias right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of people do, and lots of people get a lot out of it. So I don't want to shit all over that. A cool thing I heard, I told you about, I don't know if I sent you the clip, but that Shane Smith comedian.
Yes.
Total opposite of what I would think was cool, but he's like a comedian that's all tatted up and he's freaking funny.
Mm-hmm.
I first heard him when he was talking about a true story of the guy robbing a Wendy's in Florida with an alligator from his car in the drive-thru. Well, I was going through YouTube like a dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to this Catholic dude. I don't know who the guy is. I don't know if it's a priest or what, but it's some Catholic podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The video was on YouTube. And he's talking about how his grandpa died and he didn't know his grandpa was Catholic. And he was very close. And he said, this guy was awesome. My grandpa was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How they all moved back to when his grandpa was sick to be with him through his death. And it was amazing and peaceful. And their family was very loving to each other. How after his grandpa died, he just kept having these really, he'd never gone to church in his life. They were not raised. He just had this really weird urge to go to Catholic church. He's like, it was weird. Mm. I thought it was crazy. So he goes and went in and there are little ladies in there praying. It's not even service. It's just going in a Catholic church.
Mm.
And I had this experience where Mary showed up to me and I felt such love. And it was, just funky. And he's like, don't drop acid.
And it was just said,
so opposite of what I've ever heard from somebody.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I've been listening to more Hillsong stuff. I just think, like, how much more did we talk about it, right? Like now all this abuse is public. Not
right.
No, not all the abuse.
Right.
Probably literally the tip of the iceberg, even though it's overwhelming. How much is abused in Hillsong and Southern Baptist Convention and Catholic Church and every church, I'm sure. But the weird thing to me about religion and the church is that everybody is like all law and order until something like that happens.
Yeah.
And it's against the law, but they try to keep it in house.
Right.
When you're protecting the system, you're pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do people function anymore? What if you actually do want to know God in a way where you've been like, maybe I should go to church? Like, how is that healthy? How does somebody do that in a healthy way now? Because to me, in my mind, and I know this is tilted towards negativity, but in my mind now, I'm just like, you just scratched the surface, man. It's like when you start in a new workplace and you're like, this job is great.
Yeah.
And it is, but you see all the flaws and stuff, but this is like more than that. Oh, you've covered up children being abused. Oh, you're just going to move the youth pastor. Oh yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot more than usual. So yeah, I'm just kind of done with the whole, it seems like a drama, like a play, they're play acting. When people are really hurting, I sat in a friend's funeral. Not long ago.
Mm.
And it was just like my aunt's funeral in July of 2023. They continuously, and they were very nice people, they continuously preached Jesus and he's the way and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it, I mean, probably six times.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my aunt's funeral. And I thought, why? We're so brainwashed.
I know.
You can't, you don't even know you're doing it though. That's the thing. Like, oh, I didn't get angry. Like I used to, I just thought you can't even celebrate someone's life without having to feel like you really need to say this or you're missing something. You can't just celebrate someone's life without making sure that everyone knows. And it's really, it's just crazy. I just started thinking about brainwashing and how brainwashed we all are. It's weird. And I knew that I was brainwashed in a way where I thought God was mean and felt guilt all the time. Guilt is, I mean, if you feel like you've done something wrong, that's a good, like if you had done something wrong, we need to feel it, but we need to forgive ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking like for thinking a thought that I shouldn't have or saying a word that I shouldn't or watching a movie that I shouldn't have watched or crap like that.
Our understanding of right and wrong is heavily skewed.
Mm-hmm. It does skew your vision of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of hit me mm-hmm. in the past year or two when I've heard, because I haven't been in church otherwise.
Yeah.
These messages. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what is this coming out of? What is this need that we have as people in church to make sure that everybody's covered? We've come,
yeah.
It's almost like you really have this, you really want, if you have this belief system, you want people to be saved, quote unquote. But almost it's like covering your own ass.
Right. Yes.
I did what I was supposed to say.
Right.
Now I have to preach the gospel. They can reject it or they can accept it.
Because we've been told, like, how many times, if you think about it, sitting in youth group, have you had the person on stage, whoever it is, make an example of somebody and call them on stage and say, imagine you're standing before God.
Yeah.
And he asks you, why didn't you tell your friend about God? And you see them next to you. You come up here. You see them and like, you say nothing to them about God. And now they're going to hell. Go to hell.
Yeah.
And then they go over there to wherever hell is. And, you know, the person who's been called up on stage is crying.
Yeah.
Everyone's crying over and over and over again.
Yeah.
How many times has the youth pastor or the person on stage made us, you know, future trip about seeing Jesus face to face? And instead of, well done, good and faithful servant, it's like, well, what about all these people?
You're going with the goats.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean,
it's a strange, strange thing. And when I'm listening to like a lot of these cult podcasts,
yeah.
a lot of the programming that they do is mm-hmm. the same
right.
thing.
Right.
You have the welcoming people when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome. You have right. people, you know, wanting to visit you after you visited the church. Mm-hmm. You have people including you. How can we help? Do you need us to take your kids to the kids ministry? It's right. love bombing.
Yeah.
Which in itself, it's weird to say that because you should be loving and kind. Like there are genuine places,
mm-hmm.
probably some churches, but I told you I'm going to stand on that right,
right.
now, that genuinely are good people who love you and are very happy to see you.
Mm-hmm. Who want nothing but from you.
Yeah, right. So it goes back to that whole, we're doing this because we should.
Mm-hmm.
We're covering ourselves and we got to love that world into the pearly gates. So that has been, that's been a big obsession that I've been thinking about lately because I can't get it out of my head no matter what is in front of me. You know,
well, the cults and churches, mainstream churches have the same agenda, which is they're love bombing you because they want something out of you.
Right.
And they need to.
They need members.
They need members and they need you to trust them before they can start manipulating you.
They need money.
And they need money. And so there's always an agenda with them.
And I have to say, to be fair to precious people that like people like we know, we've said it before.
Yeah.
They don't have an agenda. They just love people.
My family.
Yeah.
I believe my family love people, but I believe my family in a church setting will love people because they want them to know the love of God and it's genuine and in their heart, mm-hmm. while the administrators of the church that they're a part of want them to love people well because their numbers grow and the money that they get. And I don't see how you can, when you're working in a church setting, when your job is to be the original sinfluencer on TikTok,
I love that.
Said when I was a professional Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So the professional Christians, because that's how they make their money, I think very quickly, it's not, this is what I've been called into, but very quickly when that's their profession, everyone is a number. Everyone is a dollar sign.
You got to make it work.
Yeah.
I also heard the original sinfluencer, I believe it was them. Mm-hmm. I think, maybe not. But it was one of those ex-Christian podcasters saying that, you know, how when they have spontaneous worship, it's planned.
Yeah. Okay. Let's to piggyback onto that. I was scrolling through TikTok and they've got one of the somebody who I didn't recognize, but I'm scrolling and it's, I think the caption is what's going on in the person's ear who's playing the piano.
Yeah.
And so they're playing, and I thought it was for a band. To
shift the mood.
One, two, yeah, and they're you can hear the counting, and you can hear the now transition. Yes, and do this. It's at church.
It's like a concert.
And I went to the comments to see the roast. Right, I was like headed to the comments section. Mm-hmm. Oh no. Oh, this is beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Oh, I really appreciate what you guys do to get us in, you know, to help us feel Christ. This is wonderful. Thank you for sharing. This is amazing. And I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
This is,
it's manipulation.
Garbage.
I saw one. It was on TikTok. I wish I need to keep track of these things. I scrolled through so many.
Yeah.
But it was a worship pastor mm-hmm. talking about how the pastor would say, people aren't emotional enough. Let's play this yes. song or whatever. Like they put right. it
right
to get people in a certain mood.
Yes. And it music messes with your emotions. It just organically does.
It can lift you up or yeah. it can be used against
that's
you.
That's what it's made to do already. Your, right.
Yeah. It's crazy. I also have been listening to a lot about Mike Bickle and the IHOP abuse.
Yeah.
And then, like, Kevin Prosh and Misty Edwards, I think her name is, who was the lead worship leader there. So Kevin Prosh was part of my childhood, like, growing up in my youth, the Vineyard.
Mm-hmm. I
went to the Vineyard Youth Conferences and this and that. Right. Kevin Prosh was there. He was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they call it prophetic worship. But he is a musician that he can play any instrument and it's, like, awesome. I can listen to it. A concert of their music just because he's such a good musician.
Sure, yeah.
But
right.
I remember back, I think even in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, he had an affair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Reconcile, whatever. Well, now it comes out that he and this, I don't even know who this lady is because I didn't do any IHOP stuff, but Misty Edwards has been a worship leader there that's pretty famous.
Okay.
For years, like 8 years, they were having an affair.
Oh, wow.
And then they start talking. Kevin Prosh admits in something. Yeah, I use my position of power.
Mm-hmm.
Like he admits it. And they still have him there.
And we're still good with him. Yeah, doing what he's doing.
And then I listened mm-hmm. to the Royce report about it.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's a victim.
Yeah.
She's like, it doesn't make it right. But she's a victim because mm-hmm. he groomed her.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my goodness, nothing is what it seems. It's all dirty.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It is.
And it's sad. So what else? To kind of wrap it up, I don't know. It's the same old stuff, but I just feel different about it.
It's the same old stuff, but obviously and interestingly, the level of doubling down is impressive
mm-hmm.
when you still have churches that are at max capacity, mm-hmm. when you still have churches that are in overflow,
mm-hmm.
still out there doing what they're doing.
Something that people are wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that people are still going.
Yeah.
It's a need for something
mm-hmm.
outside of ourselves, which would be fascinating to talk to people about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I just hope that when you go, you find real, true kindness and love. That's all. That's what I'm asking for. That's what people need. I just hope it's not a manipulation. I hope it's a love and a kindness and that you feel like you're home. And if I'm going to say this, if you question, if you see anything, especially if you're just wanting to go back and you have a little like, just talk about it. Just ask questions. Don't brush it to the side.
Yeah.
If you're not allowed to ask questions, then or you get reprimanded or you just kind of get like, it's no big deal. You don't need to ask this. We got it covered or anything that's not open.
Mm-hmm.
That's a red flag.
Yes.
It's a red flag. It's a red flag if you get shamed for asking questions. It's like, trust yourself.
Yeah.
And if you mess up and trust when you shouldn't, you still need to trust yourself afterwards because we all learn from experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be hard on yourself. We all trust people we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you find people that are trustworthy and good and loving and that you find God as a loving God. Because I do think people are needing that. It seems like if people are still showing up and lining the walls, church.
Yeah.
I can't do the whole mission thing either.
My mom just sent me and my sister a text yesterday about revival breaking out at the University of Georgia.
My mom shared it.
Rolled my eyes.
Mama, I just don't think it's horrible. I just thought.
I don't care.
I feel like we always, and mom, I'm not saying my mom did this at all. I think they're excited about it because it fits in their paradigm of this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't. What does that mean?
Because we can see ourselves in it. Because people are part of that.
Because people are being seen. I hope they are having experience of God. I really do.
But why
do we have to advertise it? If it's real, shouldn't it grow organically? If the freaking early church could do without anything that we have, and it was real power and love, why? I'm not even trying to fault them for getting excited. Forgive me. I just don't know what to say. I saw it and I just was like, nope, I can't read it.
Well, it's not going to, you know, it's social media. We're in the wrong era for social media. It's all going to be out there, plaster all over the place, regardless.
I mean, have you heard anything about the other revival? It's not still going.
No.
And what is revival? What does that mean? So you're saying, when the church goes through revival, you're saying it was dead?
The church is having a manic episode. It's just the church having a manic episode.
I mean, it's just like that. So you now you're admitting you're dead and you have this revival, but mm-hmm. it's just like God is here.
Always.
He loves us. We're loved. There is a love and a power that is real.
Yeah.
But if it fits our little box, it makes us happy that some, I think those, here's what I think. I think that those kind of things help us feel like we are on some kind of right track.
Like, for sure, that's a validation.
It's a validation that something real is happening for stuff that we don't see real all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because especially the Southern Baptists, we ain't seen the Spirit moving a lot.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. Yeah. So when there's some kids that are at college that are,
mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be real. I'm just saying, I don't understand the need to, I mean, yeah. I'm going to end it right there for myself because I can't get deeper into this hole.
Okay.
You don't have to end it. I'm just like, I'm not going to keep digging myself in a hole.
It's just anything to validate or to say, see, we do believe the right thing or the right way, or we do have the truth. See,
yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
It's so that book that I'm almost finished with, the dad has another horrible accident to add to.
Of course.
Lights himself on fire.
What? Accidentally.
Accidentally.
You know when that happens.
Right? Yeah.
That's awful.
And makes it back to the house and he's got third degree burns and it's his face and chest.
Jeez. I'm not going
to
say that.
He needs
Forgive
to
me,
be.
Lord. I was going to ask if she put oils on it.
She did. She made a salve. A salve. Can't even say that word right. And she called a hospital in Utah to see if they would send. She needed an IV because he was going to die. And he did not want to go to a hospital.
Of course, you were like, bring him to the hospital.
Yes. And the doctor she got a hold of was like, I will send a chopper right now because he needs to be like heloed out of there. Right now. And she said, no. And he said, then I'm not sending you an IV because I will have no, you're going to kill him and I will have no part of it.
Good for him.
This man lives. Somehow.
Her oils.
Well, yeah. And it gives him the validation.
It does.
That and the vindication that hospitals are evil and that the oils are God's, you know, medicine and that real medicine is the devil. It just, all it does is perpetuate this narrative that he's on. And then people around him think he's, you know, this miracle from God, and then you just start listening to when actually he's mentally ill.
Yes. And hurting his children.
Mm-hmm. And hurting his children.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is a great example of the church where we have these little revivals or miraculous things, and we all are drawn to it in our naivete, and it perpetuates this.
Yeah, it's
narrative.
Really weird. Like, were they a part of a community of believers there?
The fam in this book?
Yeah.
They're Mormon.
So were there any other Mormons around them that were not like this?
Yes, they were not the norm.
Here's,
They were mainstream.
Here's where that leads me. Remember the ass hat that we had in our congregation?
Oh, for sure.
He was a deacon.
Yes.
He was an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
He was angry all the time.
Very angry.
He was bitter and mean. And nobody intervened for his kids.
Right.
Or because he was some freaking leader. Mm-hmm. He was gross.
He's not
and
a good
everyone
human.
Everyone didn't do a thing.
Right.
But preached about everything. Mm-hmm. Like, love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Help the helpless.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. How often does that happen?
Did you ever hear one sermon, though, about abuse in any form? Do you remember ever hearing a sermon about abuse?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. I have no memory.
No, I didn't. I heard a lot about unwed mothers.
A lot about that, yeah.
Not the unwed mother house, but not abuse.
Yeah.
No.
Never.
But when I went and talked to the pastor person to person about abuse in youth group, he didn't do a thing.
Right.
And he admitted one time, which made me sad for him, that he couldn't preach what they didn't want him to preach because the money wouldn't come up. And the people with money wanted him to do certain things. And I was like, what? Like I've shared before, but it was like, gross.
Mm-hmm.
Run. There's a pastor at a church in town now that we know about who's precious and gone through tragedy. And people are, I want to drop kick those
and people are
jackass people. Yeah. They're horrible to him.
Yeah.
But they go to everything for church. Mm-hmm. They act like they're the pillars of the community.
Yeah.
Same old story.
Right.
Different place. It happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think basically just done.
Yeah.
And happy about it. And if you're in a church that you really like, I'm a little bit jealous in a sense of I don't want to be in a church right now, but I guess I wouldn't be jealous. It would be because it's not something I want. It would be, I wish I would have been like,
Yeah.
It's not like jealousy because I don't want that now. I wish that I had been in a part of a community that was really healthy. I was in California with my friends that I grew up with. I was there. We all had our problems, but I wish I would have had a good experience because that would have been such a good life-changing thing instead of a controlling, awful, guilt-ridden thing. I really wish I would have been a part of that. So yeah, not jealousy, but man, I wish. And I hope it's great if you're in it because that is amazing.
Do you think if we had that, if we would still maybe possibly be part of a church community to this day, if we had in high school. So I know you were in college, but like
I was in high school when I had the greatness.
Right. But for like you great came friends. In. So when we met,
yes,
you I came into like, my world.
Yes. Yes.
And Missy.
Yes.
And the world that we were in.
Yeah.
That if we had been and Rob, our, you know, all of our friends.
Yeah.
If we all had an experience that was like that, that was a space where we thrived and were seen and felt loved and not shamed and bullied and guilt ridden, if we maybe would still be in some kind of church community today.
That's an interesting question. I can say that I would probably still be a big part of the friend group. But I would, just because I'm just normal Shannon, I get up for work, you know, 5 days a week really early, and I probably wouldn't be doing Sundays anymore.
Yeah.
But yes, I think I would still be a part of that friend group and probably some kind of something to go that to do with it, because it wouldn't be anything toxic. It would be community. It would be a healthy community. I don't know. It's really hard to answer.
I was thinking, like, I know the Unitarian Church gets a weird bad rap because it's just accepting of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had grown up in a space like that, where all religions were welcome, and you met together to encourage each other and to share what you believe and what you're And it's okay because this is a safe space to share what you're
feeling
and going through and believing in your spiritual journey.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, it really would have been cool. It would have really, like, I did kind of experience that. I experienced that in my early teens and out of high school. Not unless they would feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody needed a place to live, they lived with them.
Mm-hmm.
They helped us when we were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of people that truly loved us. And when one of them was wrong about something, they'd come to us and be like, we were wrong. We kind of judged you on that.
Gosh,
sorry.
So refreshing.
And it was, I mean, we had a lot of religion in us as well. Like,
mm-hmm.
we need to tell people about Jesus.
Sure.
But there was something flowing in there that was very healthy. And yes, absolutely. If it was like that, I would still be in it.
Yeah.
Luckily to this day. Now, see, this is still me having that in and out vision, right? That mindset that we grew up with in church.
Mm.
I still am a part of it because I still have them as friends.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I didn't leave and I never have. And it's been over 30 years.
Yeah.
So it stood the test of time with the parents, with the friends.
Mm-hmm.
We talk and it's like we never left and we've kept in touch all these years. So in a sense, I still am a part of that community. So no, I didn't leave that, even though we're across the country and don't talk all the time.
Yeah.
But they still feel like home.
Mm. Yeah.
So in that sense, I still am now that I think about it. Your question.
When you were saying that you're talking about your youth group family and you said they still feel like home. And I just had this flashback of my youth group and the people that I hung out with specifically for most of my time in that youth group. And I just had anxiety come over me.
Wow. That's amazing.
I had my eyes about to twitch. About those people that I was close to during that time.
Yeah. I mean, that's an answer right there, Ash.
And there were people in there that I was friends with, but my close friends, but the people that I was friends with everyone. But, you know, the ones who questioned, I needed to stay away from.
Yes.
So I didn't want to be getting in trouble.
Right.
And so my close core friend group consisted of very straight and narrow people. And I was.
Yeah.
And think when you said home, I just had this flashback of my people and it gave me anxiety. Like, I would have loved to have.
Isn't that sad? That.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that exact feeling about that experience at that church. I was not in youth group, but I have the same, the same. I don't know if I'd call mine anxiety because I was youth group. I think when you're even in younger, it's more impressionable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a yucky feeling. It's a sad, yucky feeling. It's like, man, those were some good people. And we really missed out on some good stuff that could have been in life. And it was because of the hit shoveling that got put into our minds. Every week, 62 times a week when we were there.
I was about to say, multiple times a week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap this one up, I think.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to say? Because I'm not in a hurry. I just
feel like we've been on a little hiatus and coming back and where are we? Or even coming back and saying, gosh, we're talking about the same things. Can we ever move on? But I feel like this is one of those situations, you know, votes for women in the 20s and 30s, like the suffragists, and they were banging their head against the wall.
Something's got to change.
And something eventually did change. Yeah. But how many times did they have the same conversation over and over and over again?
Illustration. I love that.
I feel like this is where we are, especially in this country.
Yeah.
With Western evangelical Christianity specifically, but also looking at the systems as a whole or religion as a whole. And it feels like we're banging our head against a wall. But again, it needs to be set over and over and over and over again
And we see things, different things coming up, like I said, about how I've changed my views on it in the last even probably 6 months,
sure,
a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I haven't thought of it that way. It's a really good way to think about it.
Because it does get overwhelming.
Yeah.
When, you know, in the podcast, because you want to know, because then there's validation for yourself that we did not experience this alone.
No.
We felt alone in our experience, but it helps to hear story after story. And it also honors those people who have this lived experience and their voices need to be heard.
Yeah. And there is another side. You can come out the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're fine talking about it over and over.
Okay, good. I hope everybody else is, but it's like therapeutic. And I do think it's necessary, like you're saying. You just don't talk about it anymore. Nothing changes.
Right.
Or nobody knows that they're not alone. And if you are in the midst of it in the horrible, there's definitely another side.
And then there are people that are still.
There's a good side.
We've been in it for a little bit, but there are people who are just not getting to it. Or maybe someone listens to this episode and says, well, wait a minute. What else is out there? And we're.
Yeah.
They've heard a couple of podcast names that you're listening to that have been dropped. Yeah. So they can go look those up.
And, yes, for sure.
You know, if we need to be your gateway drug for, we're fine with that.
We're your gateway pod.
Your gateway podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good with
true.
That.
That's true. Yeah. So I like that. I've never thought about it that way, Ash, like the voting and stuff. It's true. People need to be held accountable.
And that too.
And it needs to not be happening. It needs to cease and desist. It's evil. Mm-hmm. It's evil.
Because there comes a point where you can ignore it, but then the voices are so loud that it cannot be ignored and it must be addressed.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're still in church, good on you. If you're happy there and you feel like you're supposed to be there, but your money is what talks. Sorry.
Right.
You give your money, it's going to keep going. Because if they don't get money, they don't have power.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's where their power starts. There's power in manipulation. You could be poor. You know, like David Koresh or something and still gather people because you have that personality. But what I'm saying is if they don't have your money, they don't have a lot of power that they are used to. And if they don't have your adoration, they lose some power too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still in it and you still feel like you should be and you feel like it's pretty healthy, check it out. And also if you're seeing things you don't like, you can take back a lot of power and make people listen to you by stop giving.
Yep.
Because God isn't counting your tithes.
I know, it's shocking.
And if you think he is, okay. But I wouldn't want to be giving to people who cover up abuse. And I don't think God wants you to either. So be free.
Agreed.
Be free. And we love you. You can go give us a rating that will help our podcast be heard more. I'm working on getting Patreon going in the next couple months. And I'll let everybody know. You can go to our website and I'll put up like a, it's not an essay. What's the word? A summary of our,
that works,
of our episodes.
Yeah.
And you can give, you can donate and you can email us and send us a message with anything that's on your mind. So thank you for listening, and we're peacing out, I think.
Yeah.
Peace out. Ashley flashed the sign. Peace out. All right. Bye.
Bye.
So for our next episode, we are talking to Diana Greenfield, who is a vicar in the Church of Wales. And she has some beautiful outlooks and stories that I cannot wait for everyone to hear. I knew her way back in 2001 or 2000 when I was living in Bournemouth, England. Way back then, she was the nightclub chaplain in that town. And her outlook and her love for people is beautiful. You're going to get a lot out of it. I think I sure did. I think Ashley did. It was good conversation. I can't wait for y'all to hear it. Glorious Things is hosted and made by me, Shannon Ruddy.
And me, Ashley Simmons.
The music is called Quietly Hopeful by Lewis Lyon.
You can find our website at gloriousthingspodcast.com.
There you can find details on our blog about each episode, listen to the podcast, contact us, or buy us a coffee.
You can email us at gloriousthingspodcast@gmail.com.
And last but not least, please consider rating our podcast, leaving us a good review, and sharing your favorite episodes with friends. We're glad you're here. Thanks for listening.